This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Tuesday morning to SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM. Tony D, Ron Culver. So two things last night. The Monday Night Football game, a good one at Lambeau Field, as the Packers win on a last-second field goal, beat the Detroit Lions 23-22. They go to 5-1 on the season. But for the Lions, a game, look, there's not a must-win situation this early in the season. So many things can play themselves out. But you really thought if Detroit could get this win, it really tightens up that North and makes it a lot more fun and a lot more interesting. Now at 2-2-1 on the season, and the Packers now kind of pushing themselves away just a touch. But if the Lions, imagine if they had won that game and the Packers drop to 4-2, and then they're 3-2-1, and the Bears, it's so many different cool combinations that you could have in the division. But nevertheless, too many field goals. The Lions could not get touchdowns. They settled for one touchdown early and then five Matt Prater field goals. And then Aaron Rodgers with a touchdown in the fourth quarter and then a drive that led to a Mason Crosby field goal that wins it. We'll get into that game coming up. But the other game that I was flipping back and forth with was the NLCS and the power of the Washington Nationals, who once again beat the St. Louis Cardinals, this time 8-1. And now they're one win away from the World Series. You've been hearing this a lot. I don't think you can go 10 minutes in the broadcast without them reminding you of where this Nationals team was about a week before Memorial Day back in May. They were 19-31. They were 12 games below 500. They had a bullpen that couldn't hold leads, and then all of a sudden they turned it on, and they did it without Bryce Harper as everybody started to get healthy and the Nationals started playing some very, very good baseball down the stretch and earning that wild card berth, beating the Dodgers, and now all one win away from sweeping a very pesky St. Louis Cardinals team that I'm really surprised has not been in this series at all, whose bats have been absolutely stifled by the pitching of the Nationals. And DC, who once had to bury their baseball team thinking that this was going to be a lost season, losing Bryce Harper and then finding themselves way below 500, the city now electric for a team that's one win away from capturing the NL pennant. Lot to dissect, lot to get into, especially the Monday night game and what happened in the fourth quarter with the officiating next.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Monday Night Football last night goes to the Packers. They win at Lambeau Field to go to 5-1. Mason Crosby kicking a field goal as time expired to lift them over the Lions. I thought Detroit played a pretty good game, except for the fact that they kept settling for field goals when you really needed touchdowns. There was a point, you know, they got a field goal early. They had that flea flicker to open up the game, and I thought, oh, God, that's a great play, right? 66 yards down near the red zone, and then they couldn't punch it in, so they get a field goal. Then they do get a touchdown, and they're up 10-0. You know, and then the Packers came back, and the game was 13-10 at halftime, and then it kind of went back and forth a little bit, but the Lions kept settling for field goals. Now, on the one hand, you know, Booger McFarland said it best, you know, because it's pretty cliche. If you're going to go on the road to play Aaron Rodgers, you can't settle for field goals. You got to get touchdowns. All right, we all kind of know that. But there was a point, I think, after the third field goal that of the second half that came in the fourth quarter that put the Lions up by 9, 22-13. I thought, well, yeah, they need to be getting some touchdowns. But if they can keep kicking field goals, that's good enough. That's going to be good enough. But, of course, that's not going to be good enough when you play Aaron Rodgers. And then Lazard gets the touchdown pass, a beautiful throw by Aaron Rodgers. I mean, just beautiful pass down the side, down the sideline, and Lazard gets the touchdown. It makes it 22-20. And then there's this moment of where you're watching the end, kind of anticipating, okay, the Packers get the ball back. They drive, they kick a field goal. Now, there were two fourth quarter calls against Trey Flowers, which were absolutely terrible. And they extended both drives by the Packers because they came on third down and both were hands to the face, which just weren't there. And so, you know, listen, I know there's bad calls in every game, and I get it. And I'm not a guy that harps on that. I don't think there's a massive conspiracy. I don't think that if Aaron Rodgers is in trouble, the calls come. I mean, it's an easy trap to fall into, and I don't begrudge that. I've had my moments as a fan where I thought the same thing. But I do think the NFL officials need to get those things in real time. They need to understand those kind of calls. They really need to make sure that those are. If they're close, be careful, because they weren't close. They weren't real penalties, and yet they were called anyway, and those extended the drives for the Packers last night. Again, the Lions settled for too many field goals after their initial Kerryon Johnson touchdown that came in the first quarter. After that, four more that was added on to the one earlier in the game. Too many field goals, got to get some touchdowns. But I did think that strategy was going to work. But in the end, it was all too much. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, is playing without Devontae Adams, who missed his second game due to turf toe. Green Bay is 5-1 and now 3-0 within the division. And like I said earlier, this isn't a must-win game. I don't believe in those this early in the season. But I do think there are very important games that you have this early in the season. And this was one of them for the Lions, right? Again, it's the same conversation that we were having about the Eagles, about the Cowboys, about the Seahawks, about the Rams. You win the division to get to the playoffs, but if you are going to be in the wild card, you better be really good in terms of your record in the wild card. You can't afford to drop a game or two here. It's just going to be too competitive. At least you think it's going to be competitive for the final two spots for the postseason. And the Lions, if they're going to be in the hunt for one of those, are not only going against teams like the 3-3 Rams, one of the other two teams in the NFC East, either Dallas or the Eagles. And you're also competing with teams in your own division. The Vikings have all of a sudden are starting to get good again, right? We're starting to see the Vikings the way we saw the Vikings before, right? And you don't want to, of course, throw out the Chicago Bears. So this wasn't a must-win per se, but my God, it was very close. Because in order to stay competitive in this division, you've got to tighten up that divisional record. And they did not do that last night, right? Matt Stafford was efficient enough, 18 of 32, 265, but again, got to extend drives on the road. It's easy. It's an easy cliche, and Booger McFarland mentioned it. You know, if you're going to beat Aaron Rodgers, you got to get touchdowns. We get it. We understand it. But it really was true last night. In the end, just there's 60 minutes on the clock. You're getting your team up by 9, but that's not going to be good enough if Aaron Rodgers keeps getting the ball in the fourth quarter, especially at home, and especially if he takes a guy like Allen Lazard and starts making some plays, right? If he's doing it with guys that are just entering into the starting lineup because he's losing players and keeps bringing guys in, you know, it's really impressive to watch. The thing about Rodgers is, it's the same kind of feeling with Tom Brady sometimes. When Rodgers has a game like this, when you see Tom Brady have a game like this, or even some of the better quarterbacks that have been around a long time, Philip Rivers has had a few moments like this as well, where you're shocked, but you're not shocked. It's just still it's still amazing to watch the coolness, the ability of him to make the plays when he needs to. But don't overlook the two penalties that the Lions had against them. It's too much. I mean, just the officials have got to start getting those right and getting them right at that moment. Be careful. Because, again, you're allowing the conspiracy theories to pop up. You're allowing people to feel like not only are they robbed, but they're robbed because the scale isn't fair. And that's the problem, right? When there are two penalties in the fourth quarter on third downs, I mean, it's easy for fans that are either rooting against the Packers or rooting for the Lions or just in general just watching it just to be entertained, whether they have money on the game or not, to feel like there is something not right about the way the game is officiated and the way the game is called. There were some penalties on the Lions that were absolutely right, but those two especially were not. And in the end, the Packers do get the victory, and they do win at home, and they do improve to 3-0 in the division. And the Lions now at 2-2-1 have got to figure out a way to start winning some more games, especially as competitive as that North division is going to be. So it wasn't the greatest. It wasn't the greatest played matchup between the two, because I thought the Lions could have kicked it up a notch, but it was entertaining from the fact that it was close. It felt like the Packers were never out of this. You know, as the Lions kept putting up field goals, you thought, okay, this is going to give them a chance. Had the Lions turned two of those field goals in the second half into touchdowns, all right, then it becomes a more challenge for the Packers. But for a Packers team that is depleted in certain areas, for them to keep winning because Aaron Rodgers continues to make plays and continues to lead this team down the field, that was a fun game to watch. Now, if the baseball game was close last night, if it was going in extra innings or it was 3-2 going into the ninth, I could have flipped back and forth. I ended up staying on this game most of the evening last night because the Nationals-Cardinals game was relative rout, as the Nationals won 8-1. So a good night of sports last night. No, I wouldn't say it was a good night of sports. I should preface that by saying it was a good night for Washington in the Nationals, and you got a pretty good Monday Night Football game that came down to the wire. Ron and I will have top five, bottom top five coming up later in the show as we wrap up this week of the NFL schedule and looking ahead to next week. But coming up, let's get into some baseball, and let's get into the Nationals one win away from the World Series. And then also tonight, as the Yankees and the Astros take on each other in Game 3 in the Bronx, we'll get to all of that coming up next on SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, one of every four batteries will fail this winter. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts if it needs to be replaced. O'Reilly is the Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. By the way, I'm dealing with a fall cold, which drives me nuts. I knew one was going to come. We went from 95 degrees here in Nashville to like 62, and I knew one was going to be coming. So, it's just miserable. It's not debilitating. Sometimes I get a cold that I'm just knocked out. I got to stay in bed the whole time. This is not one of them, but it's annoying.
That's the joys of where we live.
I know. It's just annoying.
I say that to people all the time. Like, we're over the weekend, we were, in the 60s. And now we're back up to, the high 80s, pushing maybe 90. And then I think later on this week, we'll be back down in the 60s.
God, it's too much.
This is how people get sick.
Yeah.
This is actually how the zombie apocalypse will start.
Well, my wife's going around opening the windows of the house and then closing them and opening them again and closing them again. And I'm like, it's freezing in the house. It's warm. It's too hot. I mean, air out the house. And then we got to close all the windows when it's freezing. Like, I'll go upstairs and be like, it's freezing. I'm shutting the windows. No, don't. It's good. No, I'm shutting the windows. It's like 52 degrees outside. I'm freezing. Can't take this. Plus, I'm getting cold. So I finally landed one. So the Nationals last night, what in God's name is going on there? They have annihilated the St. Louis Cardinals in this series. I mean, annihilated them. They win again last night, 8-1. Strasburg strikes out 12. Can the Cardinals hit at all in this series against Nationals pitching? It's amazing. You know what's amazing? When people say, oh, the Nationals were 19-31 at one point. I'm watching a team and I'm going, it's amazing they were 19-31 at one point. Are you kidding me? They have absolutely crushed it in this. And one win away from going to the World Series. Now, listen, we've had comeback stories that have been really great in sports where a team struggled in the very beginning and then really poured it on. And then the next thing you know, they are champions of their particular sport. In fact, don't go far back in the calendar. Just a couple of months ago, we were celebrating a Stanley Cup champion in St. Louis that in January had the worst record in the NHL. They were on their way to the number one draft pick and instead turned their season around and won the Stanley Cup. I think it's a remarkable turnaround story. This would be another one for 2019 if they pull this off. The Nats were dead. They were dead in May. They had lost Bryce Harper. Nobody could save a game. The bullpen couldn't hold any leads. There was talk about, you know, Max Scherzer being traded. There was talk about Dave Martinez being fired. And there was all sorts of conversation going on about what to do with the Nationals. And a feeling of destitute hung over the D.C. crowd. This team is going to fall apart now. We've had these good years, good players. And now what are we going to do with them? 19-31 and not a single bit of hope. Never a feeling of waiting on something that could really turn it around. And instead, they did turn it around. And they did do it. They just played an amazing stretch of baseball. And last night, they got four runs off of a guy in Jack Flaherty that hadn't given up four runs in September. In fact, he was the pitcher of record in Game 5 against the Braves, where they gave him a 10-run lead, and he still pitched great. This is a Nationals team that, if you're not paying attention because the Yankees and the Astros seem to be the real hot series, do yourself a favor and pay attention. Because they're going to be rested going into the World Series if they win Game 4 tonight. And they've got Patrick Corbin on the mound. And they should win tonight because the Cardinals haven't done anything. Now, let's not forget that a week ago, the St. Louis Cardinals put up 10 runs against the Atlanta Braves in the first inning en route to a Game 5 victory. And all of the disrespect that they had gotten from the Atlanta Braves led to their manager saying this about going into the next series.
What I loved about this series is we played the game hard, we played the game right. We started we finished the and that's how we roll. We don't start, but no one with us ever. All right. Now I don't give a who we play. We're gonna them up. We're gonna take it right to them the whole way. We're gonna kick their ass.
How is that going for you?
Do you think he would? I mean, it's one of those like, you know, hot takes exposed type of thing. Cold takes or whatever you want to call it.
I don't care who the bleep we're going to play. We're going to take it to their...
Take it to them.
Because right now, after three games in this series, the score is 13-2 in three games. Every pitcher the Nationals is sending to the mound have dominated your batters.
I want to say they threw a stat up last night that... all three pitchers, Scherzer, Sanchez, and Strasburg last night, I think all of them had no hitters going into the sixth.
Yeah,
something ridiculous
exactly,
like that.
Exactly. They didn't score. The Cardinals didn't score until the seventh inning of the game. I mean, I'm sorry, but I mean, I'll full disclosure, I praised the speech last week. I thought it was a good fire up speech. I was totally cool with it. I didn't mind it when he sent it on social media by accident. I said, "Don't apologize. You earned it. You beat the Braves. Yep, the Braves did start stuff with you guys. You guys did finish it. You're trying to get your team fired up for the next series. Great, but you got to back it up. I mean, so if you're going to do that, your team's got to back it up. That energy that was in the Braves locker room." That at SunTrust Park, after they emerged victorious in Game 5, has been absolutely absent in every stage of the game here against the Nats. I mean, these games aren't even that competitive from that standpoint.
They're over.
I mean, just nothing. This is just a series in which Washington found the not only pitching, but dominating pitching. And that's why we've been saying this all season. This is what you got to watch for in the postseason. All these teams that can hit the hell out of the baseball, be careful because they better be able to pitch too. Because if they can't hit the pitching, that's it. That's over.
I know. It was weird last night watching Strasburg on fire. Because remember when he came out? He was going to be like the next greatest. He was like Nolan Ryan, Roger Clemens. You know,
out of San Diego State.
Yeah, and I just had this feeling like, oh my God, this guy's going to be dominant. And, you know, then you get the reports, oh, they're shutting him down early. And it's like, why? He's not even, you guys aren't even making the postseason. Why are you shutting him down?
Yeah.
And I thought he was going to be a bust.
I did too. There were so many conversations about his arm and everything and all the not babying, that's not the right word, but kind of the meticulous nature in which they monitored everything he did, every pitch that he did, you thought, well, this is not going to work. You're not going to become a star pitcher if everybody's worried about the next pitch you're going to throw in terms of how it affects your health in terms of your arm, right? This is just going to be a mess. He's not going to have that feeling of, listen, do you need me on this? Do you need me here? Like, you're never going to get that feeling with him. And, you know, last night he was magnificent. Absolutely magnificent.
So, I mean, it was incredible to watch. That part made the game entertaining.
It did.
It was a blowout, it was entertaining.
I am a sucker for the postseason of baseball for the emotion, right? I said that yesterday with the Astros. Look, watching game two in Minute Maid Park, just that feeling of energy that comes from a ballpark when you're on the edge of your seat with every pitch or whatnot in close games. Like, you know, against the Yankees when it was 3-2 extra innings, anything, you know, an error is a problem. A hit in the gap is a problem. Anything, a walk is a problem. So you got a fan base that's on the edge of their seat, you know, just still screaming because of the tension that's in the stadium. Well, there was no tension last night, but you still felt the energy of a fan base that I gotta tell you, if I read it, it just felt like, I can't believe we're here. Right? I can't believe we're here. We're hosting game three of the NLCS, and we're one win away from the World Series. And if you just go back a few months, none of us thought that this was going to happen.
No one.
I mean, we lost Bryce Harper. I keep reiterating this. They lost Bryce Harper and found a way to rally to be a better baseball team. And again, beating the Dodgers, getting in the wild card game, and then beating the Dodgers, and then now one win away from beating the Cardinals. And the Cardinals extend this series, God bless them, but Patrick Corbin is just as a capable pitcher than any of the other three that they've thrown. We'll see what stuff he has tonight.
It really feels like, I mean, when I'm watching the Nationals last night, I forgot that, you know, they have a decent team.
Yeah, they
have
a great
pitch. They have a great rotation. But it was almost an afterthought because of how bad they were playing.
Well, again, at 19-31, they were like, should we trade Max Scherzer? Do we rebuild?
Exactly.
Do we dump some salary? Like, what do we do? Right? We're not playing good baseball. We're 12 games below 500. And when you're 12 games below 500 in baseball and there's a trend as to why you're that, you don't tend to look at it as saying, well, we can turn it around. You tend to go, well, if we multiply this, we'll be 20 games below 500 and then 22 games below 500. Like, if we, you know, you think of it as stretches of the season. So the idea was, well, if we're 12 back now and it doesn't look good, like nothing seems to be coming together, chances are we'll be like 25 games below 500 when this is all said and done. What's the point? I'm paying Max Scherzer all this big money. Let's get rid of him. Let's get him out for hire. Let's get some relief on the contract. Let maybe sign some of our younger players and then let's build up again. But instead, they started winning and winning and winning and winning. And next thing you know, now they're in the World Series. They're going to be in the World Series because the Cardinals aren't coming back in this series. If they do, it'll be one of the baseball miracles of the sport, just like the Red Sox over the Yankees. But at least the Red Sox showed that at some points they could hit in that series against the Yankees.
No, they had
Cardinals haven't shown they could hit at all.
That one inning, that seventh inning, where you could tell Strasburg was getting a little tired.
Right.
And I think that was just a situation where the manager left him in too long.
I will go with that. Yeah, absolutely.
If you brought in any of your relief pitchers, I don't know if the Cardinals even get that run.
No, neither.
I don't think they get a hit.
And Howie Kendrick, my God, man,
where did
killer?
He come from?
And now he gets like a couple of RBIs last night. I mean,
You know, this always happens in the postseason. It's never like one of the main players. It's always that afterthought guy that you didn't think about, who's solid, but you don't really consider him to be the one that's going to lead your clubhouse in RBIs, average, hits. I mean, that seems like it happens year after year after year.
Yep. He had a pair of doubles last night. Drove in three.
Yeah. I mean, what, he has like 8 RBIs in the series?
Yeah, exactly.
10 RBIs. You know, it's Howie Kendrick.
Howie Kendrick.
A journeyman.
Them tagging Jack Flaherty, man, that was bold. I mean, Flaherty's been pitching great. He gave up 4 runs in the entire month of September, gave up 4 runs in 4 innings last night. All of these statistics are skewed.
When you're the Cardinals, this is where you just go, you know, it's not our year.
Yep.
Man,
yep.
Let's call it in.
Well, it takes center stage tonight. The Nats can clinch the pennant, and then the Yankees and the Astros game 3 in the Bronx. It'll be Gerrit Cole and Luis Severino. All right, coming up, the China controversy is not ending for the NBA, and LeBron James has something to do with it. What did he say next? Coming up on SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. You want to contact the show, you can do so on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, or 800-224-2004, 224-2004. This China controversy is not going away for the NBA, and I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. The NBA would love to end this thing. They got out of the country, played their exhibition games, continuing their preseason, getting ready to open up the regular season. But there is still a national conversation as to where the NBA is in terms of its business versus how the overall treatment of what's going on in Hong Kong by the Chinese government, and how the NBA just refuses to say anything towards that to protect its financial interest in that country. So naturally, you're going to have reporters that are still going to want to know what players think, what coaches think. And they've asked, you know, Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, both of those have sidestepped those questions, got themselves even in some more hot water with how they answered those questions. So the country as a whole, I think a lot of us have looked at this controversy and said, look, is there a larger story involved in the Chinese Hong Kong situation? Yes. The people of Hong Kong want freedom. They don't want the oppressive Chinese government on top of them. They don't want their citizens extradited to China for trials. They, especially dissidents who want to stand up to the government, who is trying to suppress free speech. And the NBA wants to do business in China because there is a whole bunch of money to be made there, right? We've been going over this since Daryl Morey had the tweet and the NBA got in the controversy. But eventually, this was going to get to LeBron James's desk. And when they asked LeBron James, who has been outspoken on all sorts of issues throughout his career and is not afraid to step into it politically, here's what he had to say.
We all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech. But at times, there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you only think about yourself. So I don't believe, I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke. And so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and we say and what we do, even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that too.
That is a disastrous comment. That is a disastrous comment. LeBron James had plenty of time to work up a correct response to this. That is an absolute breakdown of everything that is wrong with this controversy. Once again, he is concerned for the concern of Daryl Morey's tweet, when he talked about people getting hurt, it was all about the finances for the NBA. When he talks about somebody getting physically hurt, no, that wasn't going to happen. But when he talks about people and the consequences, it had everything to do with the money. And people, listen, you can go, we all get it. There are ramifications for free speech. We all understand it. But that doesn't mean in any situation that it's better if we didn't have it. All right? Let's make this very clear. The ramifications of free speech are better than not having free speech at all. And that's what Daryl Morey's tweet was trying to showcase. This is a bad response from LeBron James. And I'd like to ask LeBron, what do you know of the situation between the Chinese government and Hong Kong? Why don't you tell us what your education is on the subject? Because maybe you know everything about it, and you still stand pat that criticizing the Chinese government had ramifications that you'd rather not get into. Great. But at least express to us what your knowledge of that situation is before you say that Daryl Morey had no knowledge of that situation.
It was as if he was giving like a generalization of the pros and cons of free speech.
Right.
Which would have been, I think that would have been fine on its own because we all know that. And we would have been like, okay, you know what? He's right. There are pros and cons to free speech. But, you know, I mean, to say he was uneducated, it's like, well, okay, yeah, exactly. Like, okay, well, what do you know that we don't know?
Yeah, tell us what you think of that situation. Before you criticize Daryl Morey, first of all, Daryl Morey probably is educated on that issue.
I'm certain he is.
I'm sure Daryl Morey knows exactly what's going on in that situation.
Listen, whenever I see something like this in politics or in culture or, you know, with other countries, I'm always equating, maybe it's a bad thing on my part, but I'm always equating it to us. You know, back in 1776.
Right, sure, sure.
You know, we were oppressed. We didn't have free speech. We had, you know, taxation without representation. I mean, we learned all this in history. I'm certain that during that time, we had guys who stood trial and then maybe they were shipped over back to the motherland. And, you know, we didn't like that. We wanted to take care of our own. And anytime I see a country going through this, that's what I'm constantly thinking about. It's like, you know what? It'll better them. It'll make them a stronger nation and made us a stronger nation.
And this, I just can't believe that as calculated as LeBron is, that this is the answer that his team and him came. Come on. They didn't have a conversation. Somebody in LeBron's camp said, you know, you're going to get asked this and you need to craft an answer.
Right.
That you're going to be asked this. We're no fools here. We've been in this game too long. The reporters that cover this league are going to ask you about this, and you have a number of choices. You could say no comment. You could have a comment, but if you are, we better craft one. Or, you know what? Let's hope nobody asks you, and if they do ask you, just come up with something off the top of your head. Because the way I listen to that answer, it sounds like the number three was the option that they came up with.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because this is a dumb answer. This is not a well thought of answer. For him, he does, unless he knows for sure that Daryl Morey just tweeted out something without any knowledge, why would you say that about somebody when you're talking about whether or not they know about the issue or not? Now, to LeBron's credit, he tried to clarify it later, saying it was more about the ramifications than the actual knowledge of the situation. But that's not what he said.
That's not how I would have
worded that. And he's too smart to have worded it one way and meant it a different way.
And the line I'm looking at is you could have waited a week.
Absolutely. Could have waited a week.
Till we get all the money, all the proceeds that we're wanting, that we're hoping for. Wait till the league gets all that and then go ahead and tweet it out.
This is what LeBron said. He said, let me clear up the confusion. I do not believe there was any consideration for the consequences and ramifications of the tweet. I'm not discussing the substance. Others can talk about that. My team in this league went through a difficult week. I think people need to understand what a tweet or statement can do to others. And I believe nobody stopped and considered what would happen. Could have waited a week to send it. Okay.
Could have waited a week.
Could have waited a week. Why? Why?
What? There's only one reason why you would wait a week.
This is a non-winning issue for the NBA. I don't know and have not read one column that says the NBA is handling this correctly, that the NBA is handling this the right way, or that the Chinese have every right to stomp on the human rights of the people of Hong Kong. This is not a winning issue for the NBA. Nobody cares about your money. Nobody cares about your business. What they care about is a league that's doing business with an oppressive government, and everybody is too scared to say so. And then eating their own when somebody does. That's what this issue has become. That's what this issue is. A bunch of guys in the NBA too petrified to speak out on this issue because they know what if they do, it affects the bottom line. But then when somebody does, they eat their own. LeBron James didn't go after China. LeBron James went after Daryl Morey. That, if you're on the outside looking in like all of us are, this is a disaster for the league.
This is an absolute disaster. And for its biggest superstar to come out and criticize a general manager for his tweet based on the fact that he believes that that guy had no knowledge of the issue for which he was speaking on is just insane to me. Daryl Morey knows exactly why he did what he did. The issue is not complicated. It's not. There is an oppressive government that wants to extradite people in Hong Kong to trials in China, and who knows what happens after that. This is a country that sends its own citizens to concentration camps and makes people disappear on a regular basis. This is a country that doesn't want to have that as a foot on top of their country, and so they're protesting it, and the NBA is too scared to say, and you know what? They're probably right for doing so.
I can't help but think, if we were dealing with a country that, say, spent about $250 million, if everyone would have a different opinion, or if we would just say, okay, you know what, you guys are wrong, peace out. I can't help but think, like, $250 million, I mean, that's a lot to you and I.
Sure.
To the league, that's nothing.
But amazing.
Because it's $4 billion, we're going to coddle China in this situation? And that's where it sounds. That's where it sounds like LeBron is going. It's just, it's like, oh no, no, China. Let me stroke your back a little bit. You are absolutely right. We're sorry. We need your $4 billion. Please keep spending money with us.
And by the way, here's another aspect of LeBron's quote that troubles me. When he says, he's talking about Daryl Morey's tweet here. He's not talking about the Chinese government when he says this. So many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. Explain the emotionally and spiritually aspect of Daryl Morey's tweet. Okay, because you've just listed most of the ways people use to stomp on free speech. You just gave up all of these examples as to why people justify limiting speech in the first place. Because somebody is going to be hurt physically, emotionally, spiritually, or financially. I can't think of another way to hurt somebody. It seems like you've pretty much covered every angle to how somebody can be affected by somebody else's free speech. So now you're saying Daryl Morey didn't think about it. You know what? Maybe he did think about it and still thought that his conscience should outweigh any sort of attachment to all of those things you mentioned, because it's important to the people of Hong Kong that they have their freedom because they're human beings.
I don't know, Tony. I like to picture Daryl Morey just sitting there over some breakfast going, you know what? I'm just going to send this out. Why not?
Why not?
Let's see what happens.
Free Hong Kong. I don't even know what the heck they're wanting freedom for. I don't know.
I'm not even sure where Hong Kong is.
So I just, again, it goes back. LeBron, you are a spokesperson for this league. There have been many, many times where there have been things in our country that we have been dealing with as a society, whether it is shootings, whether it's racial injustice, whatever. And LeBron is on the forefront of that. He is willing to take that step. He wants to take that step. He wants to be the guy that steps on top of the soapbox and says, I'm an athlete, but I'm also a person that has an opinion on this. And I do have some influence. And I am a person that people want to hear what I have to say. And I'm going to say it. Okay, that's fine. You want to be an athlete that does that? That's great. This is a badly crafted answer to this. And it's shocking that his people did not say, we can deliver this in a better way. That does not bury Daryl Morey. That does not look like we're callous to the issue at hand, but also does, on the flip side, protect our business interest in China. You got to have the bet. I'm sure there are some really smart people on his team that could have crafted a better answer than this. This is crazy.
Now, you know, there is a little bit of truth in what he said, though, because some people should be censored with their tweets. LeBron.
Right. And Dan Wetzel makes a good point in his Yahoo column on this. We all were out. You know, a lot of us were like, when Laura Ingraham said, shut up and dribble. LeBron James, everyone was like, oh God, no, he can speak. He can talk, you know, not shut up and dribble. That's not how we work in this country. And it's amazing how he just basically twisted that to Daryl Morey, shut up and do analytics, you know, shut up and analyze, you know, basketball. Again, if you're Adam Silver, you can't make this go away fast enough. You really can't. It's got to go. All right. Again, on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. It is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening. listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Speaking of the NBA season is going to be starting soon. I wonder how much of an effect this has on the fans. Like, people go to games. Do they do anything? Do they still try to bring signs to games, or do they just let it go because the NBA season's starting? This is an exciting time for the NBA. This is a Western Conference. It's a little bit more wide open now.
Finally. Right?
Finally.
Or maybe. I don't know. We'll
so, see. I don't know. I don't know how much staying power this controversy has. Right? Like, you know, like, remember the Colin Kaepernick controversy? Like, yeah. It lasted a long time, and people did actually tune out, and people did say they weren't going to come back.
That one dealt more with us as a country. This one's over in China. I think once the NBA season, I think the first week it'll be talked about, but then once it gets going, we're not even going to notice it. And we'll forget about the NBA until Christmas.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think it has that kind of lasting controversy where people say, that's it, I'm done with this league. I mean, you're right. With the national anthem controversy with Kaepernick had a lasting effect. It really hurt people in a way that made them go, I don't want to watch the NFL, or it's going to be a while before I get back in this league. That was, hurtful to me, some people in my family. I was offended. I was offended enough to stay away. I just don't think this issue, as important as it is, a country fighting for its freedom, it's enough to make the NBA guys, the NBA fan, go, I'm not getting the league pass, I'm not buying tickets, I'm not watching on TNT or TBS, whatever, I'm not going to watch. I just don't think it's that level of controversy. By the way, this hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Last night, Monday Night Football, wrapping up week six in the
week
NFL
six.
Already? God, it's going by too fast.
In the books.
Slow your roll. It's like a little kid when one day you have a baby and the next minute he's like 7 years old. And you're like, where did the time go? Slow down, NFL season. I'm kind of like enjoying as we kind of simmer in to these games that are starting to matter. It's SB Nation Radio and SB Nation AM. Again, Ron Culver, Tony D. On Twitter, @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver, Ron with two N's as we roll along on a Tuesday.